There you go. There you go. Amen. All right. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I am going to come from Luke chapter 7. And I am blessed this morning because I got Jesus. Are you blessed? Why? Because you got Jesus? Amen. I want to pray for all of us. But let me read this portion of Scripture. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. I think we'll have it up on the board in just a moment on the screen. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It says this. Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. This is Jesus. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and she began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair from her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with fragrant oil. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would just bring this message home into our hearts. Holy Spirit, you're the one that changes. You're the one that gives revelation. And so I pray, Lord, that you move in our minds and our hearts, take away all distractions. And Lord, open up our eyes that we might see something deep in this word today that we can apply in our life. Do something wonderful, transformative in our life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's the title of my message. Don't sit broken to serve. Tell your neighbor you're broken to serve. Go ahead. Amen. Come on, give God a big clap offering. And you may be seated. Come on, give God a big clap offering. They're going to do better than that. That's right, Pastor. So I have a double title, The Cry of a Broken Heart. The Cry of a Broken Heart. It's so good to see you in here. And yesterday was just so beautiful. We were invited, representing Destiny Full Gospel. I was invited to Deborah to preach, to share and minister at your husband's funeral. It was an honor. OJ, right? And it was a wonderful home, memorial service, home going home, and it was just beautiful. And I would think 50 people gave their heart to Jesus Christ and cried out to God. It was just wonderful. And just, I'm so blessed that you're here. We're here praying for you and your family. Amen. Good to see my good friend Glenn. Glenn's in the house. Love you, brother. Amen. Many others are here today. But I want to just share this message. I've kind of held on to this message for several weeks. And, you know, because I want to talk about our own heart this morning. And I want to really just ask you to just look deep into this word. And you could almost visualize this woman. But we've all experienced a broken heart. How many here have experienced a broken heart before? Amen? Where somebody's failed you, somebody's betrayed you, somebody's hurt you. But and we've all said, or it was said to us, you broke my heart. We have said that in many ways. And the question is, what is a broken heart? And I'll talk about that in just a moment. But, you know, to talk about really when we say and our hearts are swelled and there's inflammation in our heart, and we talk about what is a broken heart, and it's at times an emotional shock. It's a deep pain from the trauma to your soul. It's a broken wound to your mind, will, and emotions. And really, a broken heart means a wounded soul. And we all go through that, but we're not supposed to stay at that place. Because God uses a broken heart. God uses broken people. I remember I got a letter from Brother Dave. There was a direction I was going, and I wanted to get his blessing. And he literally just emphatically said no. Said no, and I'm not going to bless that. And I remember I was kind of shocked, and it caused me to weep because it was like my spiritual father. And then I got the revelation, and I wrote him a letter, and I said thank you. He wrote me a letter back, and he said, Jimmy, God uses broken vessels. Amen. And I'll explain how and why and what that really means. You see, because when you say a broken heart, your soul was robbed of trust, of love, of hope, of expectations and security that you once had in somebody or in something. A broken heart means your soul was affected, or we say inflamed. And there's many ways one gets a broken heart. Someone betrays you, or the consequences from you betraying others. Or someone deeply failed you, or you deeply failed someone else. And we know this woman here that we are highlighting in this incredible story must have failed others. The Bible says that she was a sinner. In fact, it emphasizes that. Behold, this woman was a sinner. Verse 37, 39 says, and now when the Pharisees who had invited Jesus, he spoke to themselves and said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is and who he's touching, for she's a sinner. So it's emphasized that she is a sinner. How many here have sinned in your life? Amen? How many here know we all fall short of the glory, some a little more than others? Amen? Thank God for his grace. And so commentators and Jewish historians believe that she was a prostitute. She might have had different many relationships, but it's obviously she had a revelation of her sin. And her heart was infected with sin and she was broken. And I'm sure she broke many hearts as well through her sin. And I'm sure there was much collateral damages from the consequences of her sin. And these consequences of her sin caused her own heart to be broken, to be infected, to be traumatized. So, and broken from the pain we get from failure, broken from rejection and more. Either way, however we get our hearts broken, whether self-inflicted or we have been inflicted, somebody else has inflicted upon us, the broken heart occurs. Whether someone else broke your heart or your heart is broken from self-inflicted consequences. Either way, you can have a broken heart. And the bottom line is the heart is broken and it needs to be healed. It needs to be healed. And I want to just talk about that this morning. I want to talk about the cry of a broken heart that brings healing. And in this story of this woman, I see these actions that this woman took place and how she was healed. And what I see in these first actions, listen to this, because this is so important. Number one, she sees her divine God moment. And at times there's a carpe diem. Can you say carpe diem? Well, the Holy Ghost is speaking to you and you need to seize that moment. And she sees that moment. And we see in verse 7, it says, behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought her alabaster flask of fragrant oil. This woman seized her divine God moment. And I believe she couldn't take the pain she was carrying anymore. I believe she said this to herself. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen? How many have experienced that? Sick and tired of being sick and tired. Now don't miss this, what I'm going to say. Don't miss this. Real change will only come when the pain to stay the same is greater than the pain to change. Now read that again. Look at it. Real change will only come when the pain to stay the same is greater than the pain to change. Do you understand that? It's when that pain is greater that you're living than the pain to change. Some people don't want to go through the pain to change because they feel it's too painful. Or they're unable to do it. And I believe this woman came to this place in her life without question. And what was so incredible is that she seized her God moment. She understood this was her time. Ecclesiastes says this, right? I shared this yesterday in Deborah to OJ about how Ecclesiastes 3:11 says that God makes all things beautiful in his time. But there's a time for everything. I shared yesterday as well, if you remember, that I talked about how valuable time is, because once you lose it, you can't get it back. You know, however, God does redeem time at times in the Bible. There are some miracles in there. But this woman, she knew Jesus was in the house. Amen? Can I tell you, Jesus is in the house this morning and He's ready to heal. He's ready to set free. He's ready to rock your world. Come on, give Him a big shout. Tell your neighbor, Jesus is in the house. How many know when Jesus is in the house, miracles happen? Hallelujah. Amen. And so the woman knew, this woman, exactly where Jesus was. And Jesus is here this morning. And this is our God moment. God's speaking to us. And I'm praying that God stirs something up in our heart this morning where God can heal. Now you gotta understand this woman, she brought her betrayals where she had betrayed. She brought her pain. She brought her bitterness. So whatever it is, to the feet of Jesus. And that's where we need to bring our bitterness, our pain, our sickness to the feet of Jesus. Amen? And so whether we betrayed someone or others betrayed you, whether you were the victim or you were the villain, we carry pain. We carry pain. And this woman had enough. Enough is enough. Can you say that with me? She said, enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen? Now what she was carrying in her consciousness, in her memory, was very damaging to her soul. And she couldn't hold on to it anymore. You know, there's times when God will erase things in your heart. There's times that He won't. But there's times that God gives you a governor to control that. I've learned in my own life, I remember I've carried something for literally 30 years. Well, actually, it was about 22, 23 years that happened to me as a child. And I put it aside because I almost believed it was a dream, but then I would come back to reality and I knew it was a reality. And I carried it all, and I never even shared it with Miriam. I just carried it. I didn't want to deal with it. Didn't want to look at it. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. You know, we go through that in life. And it wasn't until I met some special, wonderful, gentle, gracious man of God in Bible college. And it was interesting because whenever anybody needed, was on drugs or anything, they would yank me out. They'd say, Jimmy, you know, how can we help this guy? And I would, so we took this gentleman from Central Bible College, Springfield, Missouri, and we drove him about 6 hours to Mid-America Teen Challenge together, me and him. And we were at a hotel one night and staying over. And in fact, his cousins were, this guy was interesting because his relatives made the Clark Bar. His last name was Clark, literally. And a genius guy, genius. He had index cards and just could memorize scripture, but he couldn't control, you know, the drugs in his life. But I remember we were evening and the Holy Ghost just said, it's time to share. I couldn't believe it. And I was like, no way. No way, Lord. What am I saying? There's times when we seize that moment. Amen. And we need to bring it out. And I remember I brought it to Him and shared my heart. Then I was able to bring it to Miriam, and I tell you, and at times I have testified about this pain that I carried. Why? Because it's no more pain. It's a victory. It's a scar, but the scar is healed. It's painless, but God turned it around as a testimony for the glory of God. Amen? Hallelujah. This woman had enough. She was carrying it around in her memory. She wanted to release it. And her pain to stay the same was greater than the pain to change. And this woman knew exactly where Jesus was and knew exactly what Jesus could do. She must have heard it through the city. And she was a broken woman and she sees her divine God moment. And we've all have been hurt, but it's time to move on. Amen? Hallelujah. We can't be looking in the rearview mirror. It's time to move on. I'm speaking to somebody here this morning and God's doing something. God's going to unravel some things in our life. But you know the message. The real message is broken to serve. That's the message. Amen. And so now listen, I want all of you and me as well to be vulnerable as we look at the next action this broken woman took. To be healed. Now remember, she seized her God moment, number one. Number two, don't miss this. Don't miss this moment. She exposed herself to God and man. Did you catch that? She exposed herself to God and man. She stripped herself from the fig leaves, and she was open to share her issues. Amen. Now let me just share this with you. You don't share your issues just with anybody. You hear me? You need to know that person. I watched this person. I saw this person for 2 years and watched his walk. And I understood that this person was going to be a confidant. He was a very special person. Amen? But the Bible says us that we're to pray for one another. Amen? And to confess our sins to one another. Hallelujah. And so she exposed herself to God and man. Listen, it says, and then behold, a woman in the city, she was a sinner. And when she knew Jesus was in the house, it doesn't say that, but it says that. Amen. Jesus sat at the table with the Pharisees, and she literally barged into this home. And the Pharisees said, this man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner. Do you understand how much we needed Jesus? They weren't touching sinners. Amen. I remember when AIDS first came out, we're ministering in the streets, and I know you have to have wisdom and all that, but we were hugging prostitutes, we were high-fiving and just asking God's grace in our lives. Hallelujah. You know why? And I shared this before that, you know, people won't really care what you know until they really know that you care. People will never really care what you know until they really know that you care. Amen? Hallelujah. There's a gentleman that walks around Deer Park. There's several of them. And there's times that I minister to them and minister to them, minister to them. I'll give somebody a dollar or this or that or I'll do other things. And so I was in, this is Pathmark. We were in Pathmark on Deer Park Avenue. And I often believe this. When you're open to share the gospel, don't miss this. God will bring people to you. Yeah. Like, it's good to go out, but God will bring people to you. Just like, where did you go with that big guy, Sister Diane? What was it? I don't know who he was. Yeah. God drew you there, the big guy, amen? He shared the gospel. So there's this guy, and I'm waiting for Miriam in the store, and I just see him way over there. I just knew it. He's gonna come to my car. I don't have to go to him. I'm not kidding. Sure enough, he's zigzagging. And he comes up, and I said, hey, brother, how are you? Good. I shared the gospel with him. I said, hey, can I bless you, you know, with lunch or something? He goes, no, Pastor Jim. You don't have to bless me. You bought me shoes about a year ago. That's sufficient. I had no clue. But I was able to minister to him and share the gospel to him. Because nobody will really care what you know until they really know that you care. Amen? So she exposed herself. She was transparent. And when I said, you know, how much do we need Jesus? Because the Pharisees weren't out there touching sinners. Then what happened, Pastor? They missed it. Amen. They missed Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5, and 4. Love the Lord your God and your neighbors. They missed it. Amen. What did Jesus say? The two commandments on all the others. Hang on it. Love God with all your heart. Amen. Your neighbors yourself. And that's Mark 12:30. Someone say that's what time it is. Amen. It's 12:30. It's Mark 12:30. Someone say, that's what time it is. Amen? It's time to love the Lord with all your God and your neighbor as yourself. Now she knew that all knew. She knew that everybody knew she was a sinner. And she knew they knew she was an outcast. She knew they knew that she was a lowlife sinner. But she didn't care what they knew. Are you hearing me? She got to the place, you know, some of us here are so afraid to risk your reputation instead of giving God's glory to His reputation. We're so concerned about what people might think of us. Because what she cared about is that Jesus knew her and she knew she needed Jesus. Come on, somebody. When you get to this place of brokenness, nothing else matters. You can do all things, amen? God does unbelievable things in your life. She exposed herself to God and man. That's why we give altar calls often. You know, you might say, why? Because people need to get out of their position. Some people are locked in a box and they're afraid to step out. And you know what that is? Sometimes you're just surrendering. It's a sign of surrender. Amen. And some people, I don't care what you do. You know, some people won't even raise their hands. Even if you put a gun behind their back, they're not going to raise their hands. I'm not going to act foolish to God. Amen. Right, Pastor, when you came to church, it was stupid. What'd you say? People are stupid when right? Was it stupid? Amen. So right, the Bible uses stupid in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 1. Anyone who refuses correction is stupid. I'm not talking to you. It uses that word. Now tell your neighbor you're awesome. So listen. So don't miss this, because when you're broken, God gives you unbelievable power. Because when you're carrying around sin and bitterness and unforgiveness, it weighs you down. That's why the author of Hebrews said in chapter 12, it says, we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witness. People are looking. People are there. They want to watch you. They want to see how you're successful in Christ. Then it says, so therefore lay aside every sin and the weight that so easily ensnares you. And who are you supposed to look at? Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. And so when you get to that place of brokenness, God does a revelation in your life. Hallelujah. And you don't care what people think. I got a voicemail. I think I still saved it. I hope I saved it. And it was several years ago, I was in a major transition in my life. This particular woman that worked at the U.S. Open, I kind of knew her and ministering to her, and she did have an alcohol problem, and I was working with her, and she had my phone number and so forth, and I'm just home, you know, just really asking God to restore my heart, restore my soul, you know. And all of a sudden I get this phone call from her, and she's drunk. She says, Jimmy Jack. He says, two of your disciples just came knocking on the door. Because we had a walk-a-thon. We give brochures to the house, and they ask for an offering or a donation to Teen Challenge, and hundreds of students have come through that. And you do students, I ain't giving you a blank penny. I ain't giving them a penny. What should I do? Give you money so you can drive around in your Mercedes and your Range Rover? So I laughed. Why? Because my son just gave Miriam a Range Rover, and I'm just waiting for the Mercedes. Come on, somebody, amen? I'm like, preach it, sister. Drunk or not drunk, prophesy. Amen? But she... The only thing she cared about that Jesus was in the house. Jesus knew she was lost, broken, and a sinner. And she was ready to be healed and saved. And that's all the woman cared about was Jesus. She exposed herself to God and man. Amen? Now listen, don't miss this. When a person becomes broken by God, it's so clear, it's so vivid. Amen? You can see that in a person's life. There's freedom. There's freedom that takes place. The fight is over. And the freedom and that what Jesus said, peace be with you. The control is taken over by God. And a rest comes upon you. I remember when I shared that burden with he was the dean of men, and Brother Brugman, just beautiful. I love him. I see him on Facebook. He's just such a precious. I remember 1,000,000 pounds were lifted. Hallelujah. Amen. Because the enemy would use that. Help me, Lord. Amen. And some of you need to let go and give it up to God. Someone say, give it up. Come on, give it up. So let me share this. She seized her divine moment. I'm bringing it home now. She seized her divine God moment. She exposed herself to God and man. Let me give you the third action I see that took place in this woman's heart. She was a forgiven woman full of faith and in love with Jesus. Woo! Verse 47 says it all. Therefore, I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. Do you hear that? But to whom little is forgiven, the same love is little. What does that mean? It means when, and that's what's so beautiful at Teen Challenge, when you see these guys and these ladies get born again. I remember the day, the moment, like it was yesterday, November 4th, 1984, 7 o'clock in the morning, I was in the chapel at Brooklyn Teen Challenge. I cried out for the first time and repented. You know, it wasn't a cop car, I just cried and for the first time repented. And I went outside and we would exercise. I came in at 1 in the morning, I was a nutjob. I came in with beer, I came with cigarettes, and that's, back in the day, that was all right. That was the old-fashioned intake. They just prayed for you. No application, amen? This is 84. And so I remember I got saved. I was unbelievable. And we go outside to exercise, and then we huddle up to pray, and they're going, man, somebody smells. And I'm going, it's me. I stink. But I'm smiling ear to ear. Why? Because I knew and I could take a shower. I know how to do the laundry. We could clean these filthy clothes. But inside of me, I knew that I was washed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So let me bring this home. She seized her divine God moment. She exposed herself to God and man. And listen to this. She was a forgiven woman full of faith and love. Listen, too much is forgiven to much love. To least that is forgiven. What does that mean? I don't care if you were hooked on Cracker Jacks or crack cocaine. If you got an addiction, it'll drive you to sin. Amen? My sin isn't greater than your sin, and your sin isn't greater than my sin. Think about all the things we're exposed to today. I want to let you know, as much as I was forgiven, it's the same amount that you were forgiven. And we always need to rejoice in God and say, Lord, thank you that I am saved and you washed this sinner by the blood. Now listen, and here's what Jesus said to her. She said, woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. That's why we have those altar calls. It helps you to move. She wasn't outside going, I ain't going in there. Jesus needs to come to me. How many know people like that? Amen. Don't miss this. This is good. This is good. I don't want you to miss this. I don't know if it's up there. I think it is, Andy. Get ready. It says this. Listen. When a man breaks your heart, it produces unforgiveness and bitterness. Am I right? Now watch this. But when God breaks your heart, it produces healing and freedom to forgive, freedom to trust, freedom to love, and freedom to serve other broken people. Come on, that's good. Do you get it? That's the difference of brokenness. Because when man breaks you, and think about that, he betrays you, he hurts you, unforgiveness and bitterness can come. But when God breaks you, come on somebody, the New Testament comes, Jesus comes in your heart. This woman came in broken by her sins, but she left a woman forgiven, broken, full of freedom and full of love for God. Hallelujah! Now I want to just turn the corner here and I'm bringing it home. Listen to this. Don't miss this either. It's Psalms 51. This is David because it speaks about brokenness. Listen to this. Psalms 51 verse 16. Lord, you don't desire sacrifice or burnt offering, or I would give it. Pause for a moment. He's the king. He could order 50,000 bulls to be slaughtered and gallons and gallons and thousands of gallons of blood. He could do that. I whenever I write this, whenever I have, I put NT, New Testament. David saw a New Testament. David said the prophets saw New Testament. They understood grace. Lord, what you desire is not sacrifice. Now, they had to be obedient. There was a tradition. There was a tradition. There was a ceremonial laws that they had to follow through. But he understood deeper than that. Lord, what you desire is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. You hear me? And this has been my prayer over the years. One of the things when you go through failure or you go through betrayal or you go through tragedy, the devil steals your joy. The devil stole David's joy. And this is my prayer. And this has been my prayer. When I went through a very dark time, these are the scriptures that I prayed. I prayed all Psalms 51, but I hung on to Psalms 51 verse 8. Lord, bring back the joy in the bones you have broken. The joy of my salvation. The devil, it took years to get that joy back. And then I would pray, of course, I would pray Ecclesiastes 3:11. God, you make all things beautiful in your times. I don't know how you're going to do it. Then I would pray at Romans 8:28. You know that. And it said, God brings all things to good. And then I would pray Ephesians 3:20, just because I'm supposed to. Just because I... And listen, I had little tiny mustard seed of faith. And can I tell you, God has fulfilled every one of those scriptures above and beyond. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. So let me just bring this home. Listen, broken needs to be crushed. It needs something that is destroyed. It needs to be teared down. And that's the pride of man. It needs to be crippled and maimed and shattered. That's the pride of man. And contrite needs to be collapsed and it needs to be couched, but it also means penitence. And what does penitence mean? It means an expression of remorse, showing regret and showing sorrow and mercy. And then this word broken means to bring to birth. And there's a brokenness that this word means to bring to birth. And Psalms 34 says, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Hallelujah. And that's why we're broken to serve. Amen. And that's the heart of God. She brought an alabaster box. Now, I'm not going to go into that. That's, they say it's a year's wages and so on. But I want to end with this. Verse 38. Don't miss this. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with tears and wipe them with her hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed him. Worship team, come on up. Listen, don't miss this. This is so profound. So, so profound. There's times when I went to Bible college, and even now, I go to Times Square Church or Brooklyn Tab and just to get ministered to. But I remember I began at Bible college. I remember that you got 10 cuts. You were allowed 10 absences at chapel. And there was times that I would take an absence because I had to study for the test. Particularly, I had a hard time with my mind. I messed my mind up. And I would go to the teachers before the test, literally. And they knew where I came from. And I'd say, listen, give me the majors to study. Please help me with the majors, you know. And so forth. And they would. But anyway, that's the point. So I would get to this place where I'd miss chapel because I'm studying. But then I would run and say, what happened in chapel? I was afraid I was going to miss a move of God. Amen. Because there was moves of God and there's phases in our life that brings you a place of weeping. And this woman did something so special. Let me explain what she did. What she literally did, she came in and she fulfilled Psalms 56. And don't miss this. It says, you number my wanderings and you put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Now don't miss this. This woman didn't come in and just go cry and and shake the tears on Jesus' feet. Commentators and historians will tell you that because of Psalms 56, especially women, they kept a tear bottle. They kept a special tear bottle. And when nobody understood them, they would be by themselves, they'd have a cork, and they would literally weep, and they would have tears in their bottle because of Psalms 56. So this woman not only brought an alabaster box, but she also brought a tear bottle. Jesus knew Psalms 56. He wrote it. And so when she did, she poured her tears on the feet of Jesus and washed his feet. And I say this to all of us here. Listen to what Psalm says. It says that he knows your wanderings and he put your tears in his bottle. Are they not in your book? Stand with me. Amen. Because God wants to do something special. We're going to have a ministry fair. Every one of you are qualified if you've been broken. Hallelujah. And how many here know that God doesn't necessarily call the qualified, he qualifies the call. And this morning we want to have an altar call again because there's something special God wants to do in your heart. What was in that tear bottle? Think about it. And what's in yours? Tears of brokenness, tears of betrayal, tears of bitterness, tears of barrenness. But most of all, you know what was in there that cleansed it? Tears of forgiveness, tears of gratefulness, tears of joy, tears of hope, and tears of faith. Hallelujah. And this morning, we're going to have an opportunity to serve the Lord. Now, who is this Mary? Do you know how she served? She served immediately. They say that she was the first one that was at the tomb of Jesus when he resurrected. How would you like that? Come on, amen? She went right to serve. I remember when I said, I smell, I stink, within 3 days, you know what I did? 3 or 4 days, you know what I did? My mom and my family were so thankful I was in Teen Challenge. They would send me stamps, they'd send me underwear, they'd send me socks. You know what I did? I used to get my little clean, brand new socks, and I put it on my top drawer. You know what that was? That was to give it to the next brother who came in who didn't have socks. Immediately you begin to serve. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you want a touch from God, you want God to use you in a special way, maybe there's something inside that, because we all go through phases. We all go through phases. I'm serving the Lord over 40 years and I've gone through phases. Ex-Pastor Pag and Sister Diane, you go through phases in life. And if that's you, you say, Pastor, I want you to just come up and let's pray together. Let's ask God to do a deep work in our heart. Whoever you are, doesn't matter. You're not coming up here saying, I'm a sinner. You're coming up here saying, I need Jesus. I want Jesus to fill me. I want Jesus to break me. I want Jesus to use me. Now, you know what happens when you step out? And you know what happens when God begins to break you? You know what happens? The greatest character trait comes in. It's called humility. It's called humility. Amen. Come on up as we worship. Come on up. Let's just pray together and ask God to touch you and minister his mercy and grace on your life. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, the Lord God Almighty reigns.
Them, that's good.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray.
For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Oh, holy. Holy,
want to pray?
Yeah, pray. Are you Lord God Almighty?
Yes, Tom. God's doing it, Tom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. New day. today, Lord, touch Tom. New day, God, new day in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you. Oh, thank you for Margarita. Thank you for bringing her to our church. To do a deep work. You know what's in there. Let her release it. And God, new day, new servant heart. Yes, Lord. Thank you for my sister and my brother. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Touch, Lord. I pray for a holy anointing. God, on both of these. Their hands to serve, Lord. Their heart. You know inside, deep inside, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for Glenn. Lord, I pray a touch from heaven upon Glenn. God, fill him with the Holy Spirit. Revelation from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet to the depths of his heart.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, you are whole. Use her. Yes. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, touch Manuel. Touch Manuel in a very special way, God. Oh, you know all the areas. You release it in Jesus' name. Fill him, God. Peace. Peace with you in Jesus' name. Peace. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Oh. broken to serve, the cry of a broken heart. Let God use your hands. Let God use your heart. Let God use your feet. Let God use your lips. That's why we're created to be used by God. Amen? We love you all. Give somebody a big hug or a high five. And listen, come on downstairs. You can fellowship. The cafe's closed. Come right downstairs and have lunch on us. All kinds of food. Come on.
The song is about heaven. If it's about heaven, I want you to clap with me. Clap, clap.